We're all doing far better than we deserve. But that's what grace is all about. Amen? The amazing, the abounding, the wonderful grace of God that is poured out upon everyone, saved and unsaved, but in a very special way. That effectual working of God's amazing grace is evident in the lives of God's children, those who have come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Aren't you glad you know Jesus?
Amen.
I pray you are, yeah. If you don't know him, you can know him today. You can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. He's the very Son of God, truly is. That he died for your sins, as he died for the sins of the whole world. And he rose again, triumphantly, victoriously. Isn't that great? We have a living Savior, amen? And we are going to see him one day soon. But between now and then, we experience his love and his presence through his Holy Spirit. But we also have, in that relationship through Christ and relationship with each other, some very important things to do. So let me invite you to take out your outline and those things that he has for us to do. Now, last Sunday, we brought the series that entitled We Walk by Faith, Not by Sight. We brought that to a close. It was never intended to be an exhaustive study in that theme, that we walk by faith, not by sight. Nor was it to be, if you will, the last word. Because, you know, like all of life, for the believer, it's a progress of learning, isn't it? It's a process. And so, but walking by faith, not by sight, is a key characteristic of the life of a child of God, of a Christian. But the natural progression, if you will, from that mini-series that we had, that we walk by faith, not by sight, just feeds itself just in a natural way into considering and exploring how we walk together. How we walk together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? That we walk in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. That we walk in a manner that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians, learn what pleases God. But it's also walking together in a manner that is in step with the Holy Spirit. You see, all three persons of the Godhead are involved in our lives and involved in the church life. And we see that most importantly as we read God's word and how we're to walk together. Amos says, can two walk together except they be what? Agreed, yeah. And certainly that's, believers agreeing with each other, walking together. We see that certainly as a principle in marriage too. A husband and wife walking together in life, being in agreement. That doesn't mean we have to be carbon copies of everybody. Aren't you glad? Yeah, there's diversity. But it also means that we're walking in agreement with God. And that's important. It really is. As a side note, this series on building one another up, just as a side note, this is great for the Christian family, this series. Not only for the church family, but also for the Christian family. As a Christian home, and as we seek to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, as we go through this mini-series, you'll see how applicable it is also for your family and for my family. And for the church family as well. It's called a mini-series because we'll be looking at only five right now of the 19 commands, or the one another commands. Okay? But throughout the coming new year, we'll be looking at sections of those 19 commands throughout the coming year. Obeying the one another commands did for the early church and will and does for the church today impact the world that you and I live in. Because obeying those commandments of one another, and there's 19 of them, the way it impacts the world that you and I live in, a sin-cursed world that Christ has saved us out of and into the kingdom of God, into the body of Christ, the church. The reason these commands are so important, they state as we obey them that we're not like the world anymore. That we don't see relationships as something that we can discard when they become uncomfortable or inconvenient. That's the way the world works with relationships. You know that. I've been there. You've been there too. But these 19 commands, these one another commands, as we obey them by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we make a declaration of what the life in Christ is all about. In our relationship with Christ, to be sure, but also in our relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only here at South Mountain Bible Church, but in other assemblies of believers around the world too. And so I want to invite you to come with me as we explore the one another commands in the Word of God and see how practical they really are. And you'll also see how practical they are for your family. They're good encouragements, instructions as well. So we'd like to ask you to take out your outline before you. One statement before we start this series, before we pray, that in all honesty, these are hard commands to obey. They're so easy to say that we're doing it, but in doing it is difficult. It is difficult for every believer in Christ. But they are not impossible. And I trust this morning you will see why God makes it possible for every one of his children to obey these commands, these one another commands. Join with me in prayer. Father God, we thank you. Once again, Father, we thank you for the eternal relationship we have with you as our Heavenly Father through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done and are doing right now as our advocate, interceding for us. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide us now. This, your inspired word, may it effectually work in our hearts, not just with head knowledge, but a heart of commitment to obey you, Lord Jesus, to follow you, to evidence your grace at work in our lives and the life of the church. And that as Paul prayed for the believers there in Galatia, that Lord, you would be formed in us, both individually and collectively. And we realize that the demonstration of that life of Christ within us is also our following through on these wonderful commands that you've given us for each other together. So guide us, Father. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. For your glory. There in your outline before us, we have a key verse as we launch off this series of building one another up. And I guess a subtitle for this would be Becoming the Church Jesus Died and Rose Again For. We're still in the process of growing, aren't we? We're still in the process of growing in the process we're in. But a key verse you have right there before you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. There are many evidences as we read Paul's letter to the believers in Thessalonica. They had many challenges. They were facing persecution as well. They were losing households. They were even losing their families. Some were thrown into prison. So they knew what suffering was. But they also knew what it meant to live their life in Jesus Christ and the all-sufficiency that Christ was for them. So Paul could encourage them. And he says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Taking a look, if you will, at that verse and a couple words in the verse. The word to encourage is a word that is to be called alongside of for specific ministry and service. To be called alongside of to strengthen that person, to comfort that person or persons, and to aid. It's also the word used for the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper, our guide. And he does that in our lives. And think of that. God partnerships with you and I as we do that in the lives of each other. To encourage. Another word is to build up. The word there means to build, to strengthen. It means to edify and to make more able. It also has the idea of equipping and enabling for life and service. So this isn't just, you know, something that just said, well, you know, I love you, brother. Have a good day. It's much more than that. It's actually being involved together in the work of God. One another. The word there, of course, is an interesting word that Paul uses repeatedly for these one another commands. And the Lord Jesus Christ in the command that he gave us in the very first one, to love one another. The word there means together. Of course, you got that much. But it also mutually sharing. United in feelings in actions and responsibilities and attitudes. It's a relationship dynamic within the body of Christ. And sometimes I fear that in our relationship, we come to church, maybe we come to Sunday school, we come in a worship service, and we have that time of greeting, we shake hands, sometimes we hug and everything else, and then we don't see one another. We're not in contact with one another throughout the week. And that shouldn't be. That really shouldn't be. We should be encouraging one another. We should be building up one another. And as we go through this mini-series, we'll see some of the ways that you and I can do in a very practical and personal way, but in a way that honors Jesus Christ because we're obeying those commandments, those one another commandments. So as we take a look, if you will, in God's Word, we see that building up one another, well, how do you do that? Well, just in a very short list, if you will, that you have before you, pursuing peace. Take a look at the verse from Romans chapter 14, verse 19. So then we must pursue it, what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Pursuing peace. Pursuing peace in the sense of realizing that discord and division tear down. Nobody wants to be pulled down. Nobody wants to be torn down. Nobody wants to be put down. God wants us to build one another up. And one of the ways that we're clear in Scripture is that we're pursuing peace. Psalm 133 is a great psalm, extolling, if you will, the great blessing that unity and peace has between within God's family. How blessed it is when brothers dwell in iniquity. That word brothers there in the original means, it is a generic, it's brothers and sisters, okay? But it also reminds us that when we are pursue peace with one another, there is that anointing of the Holy Spirit upon that assembly of believers. There is also the fruitfulness of life in the gospel. But there's also another way that you and I will build one another up. And that's through wholesome words. Take a look here at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. What is an unwholesome talk? Well, slander, bickering, quarreling, arguing, just for the sake of argument, gossiping, judging, in a judgmental attitude. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mind, but notice in the positive, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may be benefit those who listen. What kind of words do you and I speak that build up? But words that encourage, words that give counsel, words that give comfort, words that can give warning as well, words also that give instructions, words that are fitting according to the needs. If we don't know what the needs are, we need to be praying. Lord, what are the needs that my brothers and sisters have that you want to use me to meet those needs? Maybe with a word that is fitting according to that need. Within our marriage, within our family, within our church family. Words that are beneficial and a blessing to all who hear. These are two of the ways. Now let's take a look as we continue. Also for building one another is the utilization of spiritual gifts. Take a look at what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians. You have it before you. So with yourselves, since you are eager to for manifestation of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. And again in chapter 14, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Now, we're not going to get into all the distinction between the spiritual gifts, the sign gifts, and the service gifts. But one thing is clear, that Paul says every believer is given a spiritual gift. And the focus of that spiritual gift being exercised within the body of Christ is to build one another up. It's not something that I use for myself. It's not something that you use for yourself. It's that we would build one another up. So utilize your spiritual gifts. When we grow, we can never grow spiritually alone. We need your ministry in my life, my ministry in your life together. And there's another way, if you will, that we build one another through sound doctrine. Notice, you see what Paul says there in Titus chapter 1 and chapter 2. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instructions in sound doctrine, as also to rebuke those who contradict it. And again, Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. One way that a church is also built up is through sound doctrine. The word sound there means healthy, healthy, not unhealthy. Today we have a plethora of unhealthy doctrine that's being preached and taught in churches around the United States. And some of it, of course, through the various medias and whatnot. And Romans 16, verse 17, that which is unsound doctrine, that is unhealthy, leads to disunity and the destruction of a church. Sound doctrine is another way that you and I have a responsibility together to build one another up. Sound teaching. And last but not least, in the list that you have before us is obeying one another's commands as Christians. There are 19 of them. And again, we won't be going over all 19 in this mini-series. We'll take 5 of them, and then we'll visit that list again next year. The one another commands, how important they are. Take a look, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 through 16. So that we may no longer be children. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him, into Christ, who is ahead. Into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part, that you and I, is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The first of the one another commands that we'll be looking at this morning is that we're commanded to love one another. That originated really from the Lord when He spoke to His disciples and is still speaking to His disciples today. It's really the first and primary one another command, because all the other one another commands find their base and foundation in this one. You see, if we don't love one another, we're going to have a hard time praying for one another. If we don't love one another, we're going to have a real hard time serving one another. If we don't love one another, we're going to have a real hard time meeting and greeting one another. And all the other one another commands, we're going to avoid one another. We're going to say, well, not now, it's rather inconvenient. I can't help. We don't pray. So the first, if you will, of the 19 one another commands is love one another as Christ loves us. Let's take a look, if you will, as we go into further on into our study in God's Word. Loving one another is not an option, as you see before you, not just when we feel like it, because we are commanded. Two great commands, and the Lord tells His disciples and those who are listening, two great commands in the Word of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Where are they from? Those are from the Old Testament. But the Lord added a new command. And take a look, if you will. Command of Jesus. The reason we are to love one another is because it's commanded by Jesus. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. 3 times. In just those 2 verses, He speaks about loving one another. 2 things from this passage we can draw from. First of all, we have an example to follow. That example is Jesus. Let me ask you this. How did Jesus love His disciples back then? Real quick. Quick answers. How did Jesus love His disciples back then? Oh, come on. I know you know. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. How? Real loud. Okay, how else? Oh, come on. How else did Jesus love His disciples? By serving them. Remember John 13, where He washed their feet? And He says, as I have done for you, you do for yourself, to one another. How else? Well, He died for them. He forgave them. He did not avoid them when they stepped out of line. Isn't that good? You go down a whole list of how Jesus demonstrated His love for His disciples then. How does He love His disciples today? Exactly the same way. Aren't you glad? Well, I sure am. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His love never changes. It's an unconditional love. There's nothing that you and I can ever do to cause Jesus to love us less. Aren't you glad? And there's nothing that you and I can ever do to cause Jesus to love us more. He loves us fully. And He's demonstrated how He loves His disciples then and today. And then we have this great command, if you will. He says, now I want you, I command you, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. So we have, in that passage, we have a great example to follow. You know, it's so easy sometimes when parents give their instruction to their children. I want you to do this, God, and this, and this, and this, and I don't give them an example to follow. Have you ever done that with your kids? A great, if you will, detriment in training and disciplining our children by saying something and not doing it ourselves. You know how that is, right? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. So we have one thing here. We have an example to follow. Another thing you can fill in, if you will, we have the evidence of a new life in loving one another. He's saying, if you love one another as I have loved you, all the world will know that you're my disciple. So we not only have an example to follow Jesus Christ of how he loved his disciples then and how he loves his disciples today, but we also have the evidence of the new life that you and I have received by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the love that Christ is talking about isn't something you and I work up on the basis of feelings. It's on the basis of the knowledge of God's word that we are commanded to do that. And it's that volitional decision and choice that I make to obey God in spite of my feelings. Sometimes that's hard. Have you found it hard too? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I find that hard at times. Just ask Diana. By this all people will know that you are my disciples. And then he goes on to say there in chapter 15, would you turn with me to chapter 15? If you're using the Pew Bible, it's 1068. 1068 in the Pew Bible. Again, the words of Christ about loving one another. And he repeats it enough times so they get the point. Sometimes Bill Gray does not get the point. Do you ever find that that's true with you? I really don't get the point, Lord. And so he has another way of reminding me that I'm to love my brothers and sisters as Christ loves me. But notice, if you will, chapter 15, verse 12, and you're outlined before you, this is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. You know, if you look at that and you say, well, what things has he commanded so that we will love one another? Let me share with you from this passage. Take a look at verse 4, and you might want to write this in. These are imperative words. These are imperative commands in John 15 when he's talking about, I am the vine and you are the branches on the vine, and you can do nothing without me. And that's true. But like, if you will, there are three imperatives. There are three commands that will enable us to love one another as we should. The first one, verse 4, abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. That's in the imperative. Abide in me. Are you abiding in Christ? Well, gee, Bill, what does that mean? Well, it means you're in communion with him. You're in fellowship with him every day. You sense his presence in your life and you delight in him every day. You know that he loves you and you know that you love him. You know that he knows everything about you, but he still loves you. And you know that he's forgiven. You know you see that plan as he wants to see that plan unfold in your life. Abiding in Christ is all of that and much more. Having fellowship with him every day. It's not just having your quiet time with him. Yes, it includes that. But it's also being aware that you're walking with the King today, every day. Amen? Yeah. And so you're abiding in him. He says, then verse 9, another command. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Another imperative. It's a command. So far there's two commands that he gives to enable us to love one another, that we can obey that command. And the third thing is verse 17. And he repeats this. Verse 17. These things I commanded you so that you will love one another. Again in verse 12 he says, this is my command, that you love one another. So there's three things that Christ has given to us as he gave to his disciples there in the upper room, and he gives to his disciples today here in this room. Three things, three imperatives. Abide in me every day. I will be your source. I will be your supply. I will be your sufficiency for life and godliness. He promised that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He is our sufficiency for all things. We need to abide in him. Second imperative, abide in my love. Abide in my love. Enjoy him. Delight yourself in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We ought to be able to say that to our children because we're doing it ourselves. Amen? Yes. And the third is his command direct and imperative again. Love one another as I have loved you. And that's why the Lord says these things, not just singular, but these things, those three imperatives, he has given to us so that we will love one another as Christ loves us. But maybe you're like Bill Gray. Maybe you're not. Sometimes when I see the commands, whatever they are, but especially this, sometimes I say, well, I don't know how to. You ever try to get off the hook that way? Huh? I know our kids did one time, you know. When we tell them to do something, I don't know how to. Yeah, right. Doing dishes? What's the big deal about doing that, right? Okay. Well, let's go on, if you will. If you're saying, I don't know how to love my brothers and sisters that Christ loves me, take a look at the next passage, if you will. We are taught, we are commanded by the Son, but we are also taught by the Father. Take a look, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the verse is right before you. Now concerning brotherly love, that's what he's talking about. Loving one another as Christ has loved them and loves them. You have no need for anyone to write to you. Why? For you yourselves have been taught by who? By God. Think of that. God is teaching us. And that's Christianity 101, you know. Okay? That God is teaching us how to love one another. So none of us can say, well, wait a second. I know that you want me and you command me to abide in you, to abide in your love, and to love one of my brothers and sisters as you love me, but I don't know how. Whoa. God is not going to let you and me off the hook. God has taught us. And that begins at the new birth. Let me ask you this. As a parent, and most of you here are parents or grandparents, how have you taught your children to love one another? Have you? Have you? Well, let me give you a list. I'm sure it's been a check-off list also for you. How we teach our children to love one another. First of all, we demonstrate it, right? Husbands and wives demonstrate their love one for another. We demonstrate it. We encourage it. We talk about it. It's something we're talking about. Instead of all the other drivel that we talk about at the table. Okay? We also give an opportunity for that to be demonstrated. And then you correct it when it's not. When just the opposite is being demonstrated. Those are the ways that we teach our children to love one another within the family. Well, you know, that's the same way our Heavenly Father does. In your life, in my life, as his children. That we would love one another. As Christ loves us, he demonstrates it. He encourages it. He talks to us about it all the time, if you're listening. And not only that, he also gives us opportunity to show that. And then when we're not, and we're showing just the opposite, our Heavenly Father, the perfect parent, he will correct us. Just as you have corrected your child or your children. When you're showing something opposite of truly loving one another. So, the Father teaches us. So, one thing that you put in the number one is that one of the first lessons that are taught at our new birth. That's the first lesson we lead, that we learn, one of them. Number two, love grows. Love is to grow. Notice what he says, what Paul says in that last part of verse 10. Says, but we urge you, brothers, do this, what? More. And that's it. No, more and more. You know the wonderful thing about love? It grows. It grows. That's why Paul says here, and he says, part of my prayer for you, believers here in Ephesus is that you would learn to comprehend the height, the breadth, the depth of Christ's love. Why? It's not some intellectual venture. Yes, it's knowing that intellectually, but it's also acting upon it. The more you and I comprehend the love of Christ for us and for his church, its height, its depth, its breadth, we understand more about how we're to love one another. You see, it's on the basis of our love one for another, as Christ loves us, that we can obey the other commands. Now, how many of them are there? 19. Boy, that's a long list. No, there are many expressions of your love for Christ and his church. Let's go on. So we're commanded by the Son, by our Lord, we're taught by our Father, and we're enabled by the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes, if we say, I don't know how to, our Father is teaching us. Yeah? And then sometimes you say, I can't do it. I know what I must do, but I can't do it. Have you ever met a brother or sister in Christ that you really have a hard time loving them? Raise your hand. No, don't. Okay. Yeah. I could raise both hands. Yeah. But I know the Lord has commanded me to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. Not of my preference. Not of my preference. I know the Father is teaching me how to love my brothers and sisters in Christ so that I can love more and more and more. But I also know, and you do too, that the Holy Spirit enables us to do just that. Aren't you glad? Take a look, if you will. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by what? The Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. The Holy Spirit is pouring God's love into our hearts. What, so we can kind of hold it? Gee, guess what I got? I got a heart filled with God's love. Oh, really? Let me see it. No. He pours it into our hearts so you and I can pour it into other lives. Amen? You see, Jesus commands us. The Father teaches us, and the Holy Spirit enables us to truly love one another as Christ loves the church. Let's take a look, if you will, at the next verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Right off the bat. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Some commentators say that love is what Paul is saying, that is a fruit of the Spirit, and that all these other are attributes of that love. That may be true. I believe the Holy Spirit, as he pours that love into our hearts, that these are going to be those manifestations, that we're going to have joy with one another. Yes, we're going to cry with one another too. Those who are honored, we rejoice with. Those who are weeping, we weep with. Those who are sorrowing. But we also have peace. We have patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that produces that love in your heart and my heart, that we would love our God and Father with all our hearts and minds and soul, that we would love our neighbors as ourselves, but that we would love one another as Christ. As Christ loves us. Boy, that's a high standard. Without Christ, it's an impossible standard to reach. But with Christ, you and I can do all things. Christ commands it. The Father teaches it. The Holy Spirit enables. So that these words that John says in the close, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother or sister, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen and cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the command we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother and sister. One another commands. Gene Gentz, maybe you've read some of his books, was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. He began in his pastoral and theological teaching there at the seminary. He began challenging the students, but as he was challenging the students, he was having his own heart and spirit challenged with these one another commands. And so there were a couple of students that got together with him and prayed with him, and they said, you know, Professor Getz, would you consider starting a church on the basis of these one another commands? And he said, well, I'm a full-time professor. I don't think I have time. And so he said, I will pray. I will pray about that. Gene Getz and his wife, they prayed how the Lord would lead them, because he was so convicted that most churches are not obeying the one another commands. He was so convicted and so directed by the Holy Spirit, he gave up his professorship at the seminary and stepped out in faith and said, Lord, if you would have us to plant a church based on this foundation of your commands, I'm ready. It was such a radical change. People were coming to that church because they were seeing the reality of Jesus Christ that they never saw before in their own church, in other churches. He's written a number of books, but God has challenged my heart, and I pray God will challenge your heart too, if he hasn't already, that if we are honest and sincere before the Lord and before each other, and we endeavor, by God's grace, for Christ has commanded us, the Father teaches us, the Holy Spirit empowers us to obey those one another commands, the world will see your world, my world that we live in. They will see Jesus Christ embodied in his church. Join with me in prayer. Father God, thank you for your word. We know that is powerful, that is profitable, but also we know that, Father, it works effectually in the hearts of your people, in the life of your church, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to be in submission to you and to obey your commands, that we would indeed love one another in all the one another commands that you give us in your word, knowing that we are taught to do it and we are enabled to do it by your Holy Spirit. Guide us, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.